Next week, I've already recorded on video the sermon, just in case. It's only about 10 minutes or so it might be a good time to bring a friend. And if you want to prepare your heart for it, read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this week. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Later on, after Easter, we'll be going over the proofs of the resurrection. Why do we believe? Not the Sunday school answer. Because if you're going to believe that someone overcame death and was risen from the grave, you probably want a little bit more answer than just, because I said so. So we're going to really go into depth in that in the next couple weeks. And so, but today, we're going to talk about the privileged donkey. The privileged donkey. This is one of my favorite times of year. When I was a young kid, this was my favorite service. Because at my church, when I was growing up, they would issue all of us kids these sticks, and they would these palm branches, and then they would say something that we just waited for all year long. They said, "Run down the aisles and shout." We just loved doing that. I mean, church was all about being quiet and sitting, except for that one day where we got to participate. And I kind of wonder if maybe we should participate a little bit more in our services. But it was a wonderful, wonderful time. Today we're going to look into the Word of God in John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. It's been a while since we've been in the book of John. Last we were in the book of John, we saw how Jesus came back to Bethany after raising Lazarus from the dead, being away for some time. The religious elite had decided already that they were going to kill Jesus. And then they decided also that they should probably kill this Lazarus fellow too, since Lazarus was causing a lot of people, and his testimony was causing a lot of people to believe in Jesus. And it's at the heels of this great dinner party where Mary breaks open and a very expensive jar of perfume and anoints the head and the feet of our Lord and Savior that we pick up as Jesus goes from Bethany into Jerusalem in the Passion Week. Would you please stand to your feet as we read God's most holy word together? This is His word. This is truth. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it was written, "Do not be afraid, people of Zion. Look, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things when they first happened. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that these things had happened to him. So the crowd who had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead were continuing to testify about him, because they had heard that Jesus had performed this miraculous sign. The crowd went out to meet him. Thus the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you can do nothing. Look, the world has run after him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we celebrate the sacrifice that you have made this week, we just pause to take a look into this snippet of Scripture, this very small portion of Scripture, where just an inkling of your glory is revealed. Thank you for this word. And now, Lord, please help us to understand and apply it to our lives today. We pray this in Jesus' most powerful name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Unfolding before you on the tapestry of your imagination as I read these words today, you saw a coming king. You saw the glory of Jesus Christ, It was just a small inkling of his glory. It was not his total glory, but you saw how mankind should have received him. You saw in this scripture how mankind should have saw Jesus Christ and accepted him. There will be a time, dear brother and sister, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And this is kind of the antecedent of that. This is just a glimpse into what will be as Jesus rides into Jerusalem in a triumphal entry. As I said before, I love this Sunday because of what it means. But I want to take a look at the Word of God very carefully with you. I see in the Word of God three donkeys. Now, you might say, well, Timothy, there's only one donkey there. But there are three. There are three donkeys. Let's look at the donkeys together. The first donkey is the ridiculous donkey. Now, the ridiculous donkey is a ridiculous because that donkey looked at what was happening and they tried to understand it with human reasoning. This donkey represents the crowd that waved the palm branches, that put their cloaks down, that received Jesus in this manner. You see, what we celebrate today as a glimpse of the glory of God, in that day, what they were doing was a political rally. It was akin to a political rally where the flags are waving and the patriotic songs are playing. This was not what Jesus had intended. As he was going into Jerusalem, he was going as a triumphant king to overcome death and the grave. But the crowd misunderstood. They were waving the palm branches, which had become a sign, a nationalistic sign of patriotism for Judah and for Israel. In the Maccabean Revolution, the palm branch was on the money that the rebels had coined. And after the Maccabean Revolution was put down by the Romans, after Jesus walked this earth and was crucified, dead, buried, and risen, and ascended into heaven, and sometime after the church was established, around 70 A.D., there was a, well, 65 to 70 A.D., there was another revolution in the very city that Jesus went and died for. It was a revolution against the Romans, and they waved their palm branches then, too. And they printed palm branches on their coinage, too. This was a very political statement. And I call the crowd a ridiculous donkey because they misunderstood what Jesus was here for. By the way, sometimes we do the same. The disciples, after Jesus had risen from the grave, they were promised by Jesus that they would receive a gift from God. Do you remember what that gift was? It's the Holy Spirit. Do you remember in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, you can read this, where the promise is made that the Holy Spirit will come, and the disciples show that they too are ridiculous donkeys at this point, because their question was not, well, how will this work? Their question was, are you going to kick the Romans out now? Is this the time where you're going to restore the political kingdom to Israel? There's nothing wrong with the crowd. Other than this, they were looking at heavenly things with earthly eyes. They were trying to understand heavenly things with human logic. Okay. The Old Testament says this, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end of it is death. Another prophet in the Old Testament says, who can understand the heart of man? It is wicked, but God can understand it. Another Old Testament passage says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. You see, the problem we often come up with in our own personal lives and even in the lives of the church is we become ridiculous donkeys and we spend a lot of our mental capacity to try to solve the problems that are not ours. They are His to begin with. They are His to begin with. Here this crowd shows themselves as ridiculous donkeys. And my challenge to you this week is do not be a ridiculous donkey. Instead, seek after His will. Seek after His way. When we pray and we fast this week and we pray and we fast for His ministry to be done in our lives and in our church, let's not try to figure it out ourselves. That's above our pay grade. Let's instead let Him lead us. Let's let Him lead us. There's another donkey I see in this scripture. And that donkey is the troubled donkey. The troubled donkey. There's something I noticed about donkeys as a teenager. My grandfather owned some donkeys. In fact, that was the last big animal that he owned. He had a little herd of donkeys. I remember I was painting his barn for him one time, and as I'm painting it white, these donkeys came up and were kind of interested in what I was doing. You can imagine the hilarity that ensued as these donkeys rubbed up against the barn that was freshly painted. As I was trying to chase them away and they would knock over a paint can, one donkey came to me. And I don't know how he got around the back of me, but he did. I didn't see him. And he clamped down on my arm and he bit me. Now, I was a teenager at the time. I admit I was not sanctified yet. No bad words came out of my mouth. But let me tell you, the paint can itself became a weapon in my hand. Get off of me! And that donkey would not get off. It would not release. It was stubborn. It was stubborn. This is a trait of donkeys. They're stubborn. They're somewhere between a horse and a mule being stubborn. You agrarians understand what I'm saying there. But the donkey was stubborn. I see in this scripture a troubled donkey. A troubled donkey. And that represents the religious elite of the day. You see, they had plans for Jesus. A couple of chapters ago in the book of John, we saw their plans. They had determined to kill Him. This was going to be their way out. They had decided He is gathering too many people following around Him. We're going to kill Him. And now they were in trouble because their plans were not going to come to fruition. At least they thought. Their plans wouldn't. Look at how the whole world has come after Him. They were a troubled donkey. They couldn't get their own will done. Now, the problem with troubled donkeys is they are stubborn. Let me say that maybe more clearly. The trouble with me, the troubled donkey, is I am stubborn. And when you act like a troubled donkey, you're stubborn as well. You see, when we look at this scripture, we see that there were some who had in mind their plans, and they were not going to come to fruition. At least they didn't think they were. The thing is, the very interesting thing is, that their plans to kill Jesus was actually Jesus' plans to lay down His life and be trampled for our sake. But they were troubled donkeys. Don't be a troubled donkey. Let go of whatever your plans are. Seek after Him. Let Him lead you. And finally, we see a privileged donkey. We see a privileged donkey. The story unfolds before us, and I think it's very interesting. The book of John has the same story that Matthew, Mark, and Luke have, but the book of John doesn't detail it out like Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. When Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about this particular incident in the life of Jesus, they basically say that Jesus told two of His disciples, go on into town, you'll find a donkey, In fact, a never before been ridden donkey, a colt, tied up in town. I want you to go and untie it and bring it to me. Now wait, before you think about this in our terms, I want you to put yourself in their shoes. Here, Jesus tells them, go take a donkey that's not yours. And by the way, when you take that donkey and they say something about it, say, oh, Jesus wants it. It's okay. That's akin to going down to, I was going to say the Lamborghini dealership, but probably there isn't one in Springfield. And even if there was, it'd probably be more like the Ford dealership anyway. Going down to the Ford dealership and saying to the salesman, hey, the king wants that Focus there. I'm just going to go ahead and take it, all right? Oh, yeah, sure, no problem. Go ahead. 911. You know, it's just amazing. But the trust that they had in Jesus and the power that Jesus had in this earth, go get the donkey. And they did. Now, this donkey had never been ridden before. This donkey had never been trained. Back to the farm with my grandfather. One of the punishments I decided to mete out on the donkeys because they were so disruptive to my painting endeavor. A couple Sundays after that whole incident with the donkey biting me, I brought my friends over to Grandpa's farm, and we decided we're going to ride the donkeys. We're just going to break them. By the way, we didn't break them. Kind of broke us. They're hard to ride when they're not trained. And yet, here's an amazing picture of the gentle, suffering servant. He gets on a donkey that is not trained, and the donkey doesn't bolt through the crowd like our donkeys did, didn't end up in the pond like our donkeys did, didn't get so close to electric fence that we screamed and jumped off like our donkeys did. But instead, this donkey carries Jesus where he wants to go. There's something about Jesus. There's something about Jesus. I don't know how stubborn you are. I know how stubborn I am. I know how stubborn my kids are. I love my wife, and so I'm not going to tell you how stubborn she is. She's not stubborn at all. But however stubborn you are, when you are in the hands of the gentle Savior, you do what He wants. He loves you, and you know it. This privileged donkey comes out and takes Jesus from one place to the other. There's it's an old illustration. There's a ministry that we support in this church called Heart to Honduras, and many of you have heard this illustration before, so forgive me. But here's what the privileged donkey did. I'll say not the King James version, but the church-friendly version for you. The donkey, one day, was tied up next to the stallion. And the donkey was all happy, and the stallion said, "Young man, why are you so happy?" The donkey said, "Oh, you would not believe what just happened to me. I had the greatest day. You see, I was called out, and they untied me, and they took me to the edge of town, and then they put someone on me, whatever. But then I started walking down the street in town, and people started throwing their cloaks in front of me and waving palm branches. They thought I was wonderful." And the stallion snorted, of course, and looked at him and says, "You fool, you donkey. Don't you know? They weren't clapping for you. They were praising the one who was riding you." I don't know where you're at in your life, but me, right now, I'm happy to be the privileged donkey. I'm just the donkey that takes Jesus to wherever he wants to go. There's no acclaim in that. There's no fame in that. You just simply take Jesus where he wants to go. And it is my prayer, dear friends, that each and every one of you become a privileged donkey. Just ask God this week, what is it you want me to do in this church or outside of this church for your ministry? Just ask God, where do you want to go? And then realize that we're just the donkey who takes him there. Well, dear friends, would you please stand with me? I don't know where you're at today. I pray you're not a ridiculous donkey. And I pray if you're a troubled donkey, that you come to the altars. But perhaps you're with me and you want to be that privileged donkey. All that drives you, that heartbeat within you, all you really want is to be the donkey that Jesus rides. To take him wherever you go. Wherever you go is where he wants to go. Dear friends, these altars are open for any prayer that you might have, or perhaps you need healing. You can come down to the altars for that. But I would ask you this. I'd ask you just to take a moment. Are you misunderstanding who Jesus is? Is he your political savior or anything other than the one trampled on the ground for your salvation? If so, don't be ridiculous. Leave that at the altar. Or perhaps you're troubled because things aren't going your way. Don't be troubled. Dear friend, leave that at the altar. Maybe you want a very clear word from God where it is that he wants you to take him. Be privileged today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be privileged. Thank you for choosing to save us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. I pray now, Lord, that you would talk to us. Just even now in the silence, speak to each and every one. May we not be ridiculous or troubled, but may we be privileged. We pray all this in Jesus Christ's most powerful name. Amen.